Good evening, everyone. We are pushing buttons. Everything looked good for a moment, and looks like the camera shut down on us. Let's see here. Is it live? It's dark.
Hey.
Things got a lot better looking, didn't they? I tell you what.
Hey, we're back. Hey, everybody. Welcome. How are you? Are you staying warm? Are you staying inside? We're so glad to be here again, even virtually, for Bible study tonight. I'm Derek Smith, the youth minister here. Here with Bobby Rawson, pulpit minister here, and we're excited to be together for Bible study tonight. I guess I'll set this kind of up because this is a little bit different from what we've been doing. We just have been in the middle of a our favorite picks section, and so that study, that series included things like my favorite Bible verse or my favorite, you know, Bible character, and really in my head what that was, it almost felt like a spiritual potluck where we all brought something to the table. We all brought our favorite, you know, in my spiritual experience, this is what has meant a lot to me or stood out to me. This is what has helped me grow or all these different things. And so with the announcement that was made last Sunday and then again this Sunday about potentially bringing back Bible classes here at the Allen Moore Church of Christ, which we're extremely excited about and taking all the necessary precautions, but moving back that direction to, again, enjoy something that we've missed out on for so long. One of the things that got going was the conversation of we potentially only have two more of these Sunday evenings in this format. You know, how do we want to spend those? And your comment to me was, hey, you tell me and I'm cool with it. You tell me what we're doing. So that's where we're at tonight. Bobby actually has no idea. I asked him earlier today, I said, do you want to see kind of what I have in store? And he said, just bring it to me and we'll make it work. So we're excited to jump into this study tonight. And I guess where my head went as we're kind of, to me, it almost feels like we're seeing a little bit of the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, COVID-related anyways, that to be back in Bible class, I know it's going to feel so good, and I'm so excited about that. I'm so excited about just being together again. I do feel like we have weathered something, that there has been a little bit of a storm here that we have weathered together, and to be able to kind of pop our heads back up and look around and see each other again, it just feels good. And I guess in light of that, one of the things that I wanted to do tonight kind of feels like a throwback to almost how we started is I've just got some questions for you, and I'm sure that'll lead to some questions, some bounce back questions from you, but I've got some things that I just want to have, I don't know, I think some things that naturally we might be asking ourselves at this time as things are changing naturally. Anyway, we can't help it. Things are changing around us. And so maybe we're thinking about some of those things. Okay. So does that all sound okay to you?
We will see. Now, like I said this morning, and we were talking about this idea, what direction do we go? And Derek kind of has alluded to the fact that things are going to be changing as we go forward. We'll, at the end of our study tonight, we'll kind of give the exact details of what we're looking for. So I trust you, Derek, and I look forward to what you're going to bring to us. And I'll be honest with you, this has been a neat, and I know this isn't part of what we said we were going to talk about, but we've been together a lot. Now, we're almost in a year of doing this and this format, and it started out with how are we going to do it and what do we want to do and how do we get everybody involved. And I'll be honest, the fact that you guys have continued to participate, to stay with us, to be a lifeline, if you would, for us, it makes what we do each week a lot more enjoyable, personally anyway, and I hope that it helps you as well. So I'm really not scared of what you're going to bring because I know I got a lot of folks behind me that if you ask a question or something, that these folks are here to not to see me fail, but to see me succeed and to see us succeed. And so whatever you got, I'm good. I got a whole army of folks ready to help me out.
That's how I feel too. That's awesome. And again, as always, if you have any comments or questions, please put them through. That's kind of one of the fun things about a live, being able to do it live versus just us having to record and show, is that we still have that ability to interact. And so please send in your thoughts, your comments, and questions as well as we jump into tonight. But with that in mind, how I kind of would title this, Bobby, is almost, I hope it's going to feel kind of like Revelation 2 and 3. I hope it's kind of going to have that feel of this is a letter to the church, or just, you know, obviously you're not Jesus writing this or saying this, but here's kind of a take on the current standing of the church.
Okay.
And so kind of with that in mind, here's question number one. I try to phrase these purposefully to get your head kind of how you would take these questions.
Okay.
As a Christian, what are one or two things that you would warn the church about that have just come up on your radar as being minister, parent, teacher, Christian, all these things? What are one or two maybe things that you would warn the church about?
So you're saying the question is, as the minister or as a parent or as a teacher, as somebody in our community, what are some of the things that I should warn Christians about? Is that
sure.
what you're saying?
Uh-huh.
Give me just a second. I guess one of the first things that comes to mind is the importance of not just going through the motion, of being on purpose, being intentional, of being sincere, and allowing God to change your life. You know, I think about the passage there in 1 John chapter 1, where the idea that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood mm-hmm. of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. And this idea is an idea of a direction that we're going. It's not about perfection. And one of the things that I think a lot of Christians struggle with, and I think a lot of folks who are seeking and looking struggle with, is this idea of, if I'm going to be a Christian, then I have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. I have to do everything just right. And this church thing is not for me. This following Jesus thing is not for me, because I'm just not good at that. Yeah. And that's a shame, because I think folks have missed out on what following Jesus is all about. This idea of denying yourself, taking up your cross, is that a heavy thought? Sure it is, but it's a heavy thought because it means you got to quit being God and you got to let God be God. And I think that's one of the first things that I would warn, because I think it feels like if I fall into this walk with Him, that I got to be perfect in that walk, and we don't. We allow the blood of Jesus to cleanse us of our unrighteousness, and we come back every day and we say, God, help me get through this day, one more day with You, and allow Him to lead you, allow Him to guide you. To me, that would be one warning that I would give. The other warning I think that I would give is to be on alert for Satan. You know, I don't know that we really grasp this idea of who Satan is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he would just show up with big teeth and maybe some pointy ears and
yeah.
this goatee and with a, you know, a pointy tail and a pitchfork, if he would just show up like that, I'd stay away.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, he shows up in ways that we would say, well, that could be okay. That could be all right. That's not a big deal. It doesn't specifically say, and then we end up not recognizing that Satan is evil. We forget that he is this lion that's out to destroy. And so I would say to stay on alert. And you stay on alert, number one, by just acknowledging or looking around for that present danger. But you also get around other good people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you, and you and I have talked about it, and I'll throw it to you. Yep. How easy is it to be a Christian at Sardis Lake Christian Camp?
You don't hardly even have to try.
It's not a big effort to do that. And it's not because you walk down the hill at camp and all of a sudden all your worries and troubles go away.
Yeah.
But it's because your focus is entirely different, and because you're around a lot of other folks
yep.
whose focus is entirely different. And so when you get in that environment, it's like, oh, this Christian walk thing, I can do this.
Yeah.
And it really is comforting and exciting, but you're around other brothers and sisters, other folks who are struggling the same, who are going through. And so when we all are watching for Satan,
yeah.
you know, think about that lion hunt, the zebras. How does that work? You know, what power does a zebra have over a lion? And the answer is none. I mean, the lion's going to win every single time. But when those zebras are all standing side by side by side, the scientists tell us that the lion can't decide or can't see where one starts and stops. Those lines blend in. And so all of a sudden, the herd saves the herd.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Maybe.
Just by being close together.
Maybe if we could figure out, as a minister, as a teacher, as a father, as a brother and sister, if we could figure out that, hey, I'm going to go all in, and I don't have to be perfect, and I'm going to watch out for Satan, and this herd mentality that we have will help us against Satan. To me, those are two big warnings, and I don't know. I'd love to hear what others think. What
yeah.
are your thoughts? Is, you know, how does that play out from you?
Yeah, so those, I'm hearing you say, you know, one, a warning to don't just fall into the trap of going through the motions.
Absolutely.
And then two, a warning of don't underrate the devil. our adversary, right? That was the very first one you mentioned is one of the first ones that comes to my mind. I just think it's so easy to fall asleep at the wheel concerning our spiritual journey and even concerning almost anything. I think that, you know, a conversation about going with the flow, I think could have some positives there. I used to think that was just like the ideal way to be, is like go with the flow, because if you're going with the flow, that means you're not causing any conflict or bouncing off of any conflicts, like you're just progressing, like you're just moving. And what I have found in just, you know, my years of life so far is that the flow just doesn't take you to good places. Like the flow just leads you to nothingness. Like there's not a lot of meaning there. There's not a lot of good there. And so going with the flow, I think that was actually the first sermon that I was able to preach here, the first time I was able to be in the pulpit here. And I think I shared about my experience of falling asleep at the wheel, that same exact warning, which sounds a lot like the biblical warning to be alert, be sober-minded, be vigilant, stand strong, all of those things, right? Some of my warnings, I think, I would definitely warn about all of this stuff in front of us. I feel like these things that we have in our pocket have changed the world so drastically, and I think will continue to change the world so drastically. So I'm nervous about how these impact our families and our life. But that's the biggest thing, is I think the same warning that you gave of making sure that for ourselves and our family and our community and our church family, that we're not allowing ourselves and each other to just go through the motions, to just do things that don't matter on a regular basis. And I think that's one of Satan's tactics, is just to lull us to sleep, just to slowly add things to our schedules, and just to lull us into a pattern where we've been a year, 10 years, 15 years, and just not even really thought about, you know, what we're doing with a lot of things. Just very comfortable. Yeah. Exactly. Next question I have for you. As a Christian, again, kind of the anti of that first question, what are one or two things you see in the church right now that has made you very excited, that you look at and you see, this thing that I see other Christians, this thing that I see the church doing just gets me fired up. I like what I see.
What gets me fired up, excited as I see? Well, one of the things that at least, you know, this is, I don't know that we can speak anywhere outside of these, of our church family that's joining us right now, but even the desire that I find through Facebook, through conversations, where there is this outreach that where people are wanting to share, where people are wanting to grow, where people are excited about it, and that kind of gets me excited, thinking about where we are and where we have the potential to be, the conversations that are happening from time to time and the discussions that are going on. That excites me to think about where we are, and even as we go forward, you know, I'm excited about what comes back as far as Bible class is concerned. We've got a new curriculum that we're going to put in place. We've got folks that are willing to step up for the first time. I've got people that have come to me and said, hey, what can I do? How can I lead in some way? Can I help in some way? And so when I start to see those folks that are excited, and another thing that has excited me in the same vein, we've had several folks, and some of you guys are watching right now that I'm talking about, who through Facebook, through checking things out, have decided that, hey, I'd like to be a part of the worship together here. And that excites me, that God's working and that God is there, and these people are seeking and looking, and they're finding and they're feeding on God's word. And that's exciting to me. What's exciting to me this morning was crying babies.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't know if you could hear it at home. Those of you who are watching on Facebook, I hate that you wasn't in the building with us. There were several times that babies started crying and got upset. Yay, good. Because that's progress. That's hope. That's future. And the fact that mamas and dads are there, getting them there, showing them the importance of that, that the children are there, that they're seeing that this matters, and we're going to keep growing and going. And crying babies excites me in that setting, because if they're not there, obviously that's a sign too. And so that's exciting to me. It's exciting to me that that conversations that I've had have been open-minded conversations about what we do going forward. That's exciting to me, that somebody's not coming in with an iron fist and saying, this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to do it. They're saying, what can we do? Where do we go from here? That's exciting to me. Thinking about our youth and what's going on in our youth program, and you're excited about it, the mm-hmm. kids are ready to get back at it. That's exciting to me. So, and 7.5 inches of snow is exciting to me, but that has nothing to do with anything else.
Yeah, still fingers crossed on that. Yeah. Is that the radar? Is that what we're selling for now?
Well, the latest one I saw was 7.5 to 8. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
Awesome. I am excited about some of those same things. One of the things that I think I would say I'm excited about, and I don't know if I'm seeing this for real. Maybe others can tell me if they're seeing this also. But I feel like one of the things I'm seeing is a little bit of like a renewed desire to just see what the Bible says. Yes. And so when they hear so many things, when they see so many thoughts and opinions, and then maybe has started or kind of been a result of kind of the political environment of just everybody can just call everybody a liar or fact checked or opinion, whatever they want to give. And it's like, where's the truth? Where's the truth? What's really going on here? And I feel like my experience is that we're seeing some of that on spiritual matters again, that I just want to know what the Bible says. And so that's good for people like us, because, you know, I've heard you say it 1,000 times of don't take my word for it. Even this morning when you were like, hey, some of you may have noticed something up there. Yeah. There was a little error up there. You know, hope you're double checking your answers there and looking to see what the Bible says. So I think that's I'm definitely excited about it. My only hesitation is I'm wondering if I'm really seeing that or not. There's been a couple of things that made me think, something's going on there, but I'm not exactly sure if that's the case. But definitely excited about that. And honestly, this is a little weird, and maybe this is just me being optimistic, but I think it's something we've seen the church do time and time again, that God has done for his church time and time again, is that through hard times, the church not only survives, but it thrives. And so in a weird sense, I'm a little excited for post-COVID church. Yeah. To see what that looks like, to see if anything's different, to see how things are different. I think we all knew that we were going to be here. I think there was never any doubt about that, but I'm excited to see what this kind of maybe strain creates.
You know, this COVID thing that's happened, it scares me from one major standpoint. Obviously, I don't want the sickness and the death and how it would mess up people's lives as we see it. But spiritually speaking, this is what my conversation was this morning in my sermon, where somebody says, well, I figured out how I can do this church thing easier, and the connectivity is lost. And like I said, this might have been there way before, and now this has just exposed it. But I hope people can sense and understand how important that it is to stay connected, to be grounded in the faith, to support one another. Because let's be honest with each other, it's hard to know how you're feeling when all you see is a name.
That's right.
It's hard to know what's going on in someone's life if we don't share and get into those conversations. And a lot of those things happen, and I think it's a God thing. You know, somebody might or might not have known that you're hurting the way you're hurting, but they know you well enough, and they reach out mm-hmm. to you. And in those moments that maybe you've tried to run and hide from, we don't get to do that. And so for me, that's the direction that I'm hoping kind of bounces back through this. And that's exciting, but it's also scary, because how many folks decide, I'm out?
Yeah.
And then how do we say, no, you're important. We need to work through this together. So that's my thought on that.
Yeah. Before I jump to the next question, I want to read a couple of the comments that have come in, and then we'll jump right into the next question, which you actually just kind of already set up for yourselves unknowingly. Here's a comment from Pam Stafford. I am thankful for this. I'm a member at Brighton Church of Christ. My friend Miranda Schroeder invited me to watch your services because my church is only meeting on Sunday mornings because of COVID. So thank you for letting me participate in this. this. Absolutely. We're so glad you're here. We love Miranda and exactly what you just said, that one of the things that we've been excited about is people are sharing.
Yes.
And people are, you know, people are just communicating and inviting each other, and we love that a lot. And yep. So already, you know, a member, but just to have you here tonight, that is great. Yep. It really feels wonderful. Another comment, and this goes, I think, to what you were saying kind of about Bible camp and how it's easier to be a Christian and serve Christ when you're doing that right next to somebody who's also doing that.
Right.
Alice says, that's the reason we should be equally yoked with a Christian spouse, making walking life's path a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as a married person.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, well, that is a big, obviously, a big situation, because you end up with, there's going to be moments where you need to be on the same team. You need to be pulling the same direction. And I know that term equally yoked mm-hmm. is the idea that you're working together and not against each other. So I think that is a for sure wise statement to make.
Yeah, if you were with us a few weeks ago when Brad Lehman taught on Wednesday night, he actually showed a video of a study that the high school class and he had done with some older members of the congregation about dating and relationships and what does that look like in, you know, modern times and everything. And so part of that was asking these high schoolers, you know, what are their expectations going into dating, and then going, you know, two generations above of asking grandparents of what was dating back when you started dating, and what is your hope for teenagers now. And that was one of the things that they said constantly is, you know, a Christian, that I'm looking for somebody who we can disagree on a lot of things, different sports team, different hobbies, different whatever,
right.
But this thing
yep.
needs to be in sync.
You're right.
And then another comment here before we ask this question, I think we see so many people seeking a simpler, more thoughtful spiritual life, coming to faith more to serve while perhaps less driven by being entertained and distracted. I think that will draw more and more people to the church or back to the church.
Agreed.
Yeah, and absolutely. I think, and hearing that from Will, I think is another kind of confirmation of what I was saying, is that people are just looking for what's in the text and not more, like, and nothing more. So again, yeah, excellent, excellent thoughts. And so going into the next question that I have for you, Bobby, is this. God has expressed how important our relationships with each other are. From your experience, what do we do well in that area, and what could we do better at?
Okay, so you're asking, you said God's expressed how important it is, our relationship with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I see that we do well as Christian family?
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I see us doing very well in Christian family situations is the idea of being supportive. When someone gets sick, or when somebody, there's a death in the family or something like that, for folks to come to the rescue and to help with food, or to come to help and those kind of things, to have that built-in group of folks that you know that you can count on, you know that you can rely on. I see that, and that's exciting to me. Another thing that I see that we do well, and I can't speak anywhere except for Alamo Church, but it's a very generous group. If I said we need ARC, I mean, look at our ARC Day situation. I know you deal with young people, and there's people, members of our congregation that will come to you and say, make sure that if a kid doesn't get to do, let us know
That's
what
right.
to do.
That's right.
You know, those are the kind of things that I see this moment that we do well in the moment. I think, and it's just for me standing back and watching, and I know that, you know, for everyone, you could probably have a counter argument, but to watch even the interaction, there's sometimes that I'll just kind of sit back and watch the congregation kind of mingle and interact, and I like seeing that. I like to see those mm-hmm. kind of groups there. What can we do? Those are just some quick things that come to mind. What can we do better? I feel like we can reach out more. I feel like there's a lot of folks that are not tied to any church group anywhere that we know, that we maybe have not said anything to, that maybe we could do that a little better. I feel like we could serve better. And by serve better, I mean look for those opportunities to serve, whether it's call Brooks and say, I can teach a class, or maybe I can't teach the class. I'll be a helper with somebody who will teach the class. There's an opportunity that I can step up. And one of the things that's happened even over the last few weeks and months is some people have stepped up and led prayers or read scripture or have begun to find a way to serve and to help in some way. And I think those are things that we can maybe get out of our box, get out of our comfort spot, and, you know, not just come in and then leave, but come in and engage. That this is the body of Christ that I'm a part of, and I'm not just an accessory to the body, that I am indeed an important part, and I'm doing things. But to me, that's some things that we can do better, and I know that, those are opportunities that that really is not just something we need to do. I think it's what God expects of us. And if we're looking for ways to avoid opportunities to serve, then I think we're missing out on what God really needs of us and wants of us. And if they're not there, then honestly, the church hurts for it. Mm-hmm. So those are things I think we could do better for sure. Those are things that excite me too.
Yeah. And I'd be interested, again, as always, to hear from everybody watching, or just what are some of your thoughts and first reactions to some of these questions? Not just putting Bobby on the hot seat, but, what do you think as far as relationships are concerned? God makes that a big priority just in all the one another passages. But even like what you mentioned this morning, just the greatest commands, so love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. So we definitely see that emphasis and see that priority and see that value from God. We definitely see how Jesus not only taught that, but lived that and passed that on to his followers to teach all of us, and here we are today from those same teachings doing those things.
And I guess as you just said, it made me think of another, when someone comes forward, that's something that I've been extremely proud of the family here. If someone comes forward, there's a good chance that somebody else is coming to sit with them, to be with them, so that they're not alone in that moment. And I think that's a very powerful thing too. It's a very encouraging thing to see in those relationships that, as you just said, to love God, to love each other, and how important that is to see.
Yeah. One of the things I think when I look around and I see our relationships, I think that we are very polite, very kind, all good things. I think welcoming in a good sense. And we've had some of these conversations. It's interesting on, if somebody has made the decision to like come into the building and be here, not just during COVID, but whenever, what's the best way to welcome that person? Do they need some space? Do they want 14 people to rush them, which sometimes we do because we're excited to meet somebody new or whatever that looks like. What's the best way to be welcoming and make somebody feel comfortable? So at times I think that we have been really good at that. I think my concern on the other part of that question is your same concern, that even though we can be very connected with Facebook, with just I see you on Sundays, I feel like maybe we can go deeper in a lot of those connections, that a lot of the people who sit over here and sit over here can be more connected. The people who work in this area and this area can be more connected. And
what do you think about mixing the seats up on a Sunday morning?
I'm a fan.
If we just came in and said, if you sit on the left side, you have to sit on the right side. Or if you sit past the halfway point, you have to sit on the other side. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting. It would be fun. It would be a little uncomfortable. I honestly think, when we're here in the building, I think that there is encouragement, but not a lot of the connecting that I'm thinking about.
Right.
I'm thinking more of, you had a sermon that really stood out to me, and maybe a lot of us, of, we're wearing some masks, mm-hmm. and we need to take some masks off, not at all COVID-related, but just I'm putting up a facade. I'm only letting people so close. I'm only being so vulnerable, and so our connection can only be so deep. And so even if I sit beside somebody and I sit by somebody new and I tell them hello and learn their name, that is awesome. And I do think that would be a cool thing to do sometime, to experiment with that. But again, just this idea of, and I feel like it's only halfway our fault. I feel like we've let a lot of this stuff in front of us keep us from being actually connected, but there's a sense of connectedness, but in some ways it can be lacking there. So and maybe I'm the only person who feels that way, and so maybe other people can say, well, here's been my experience, and obviously we would love to hear that. And I'll jump into our next question maybe while y'all are typing, and you already kind of, again, you had no idea what these questions were, but your thought process, it seems, are feeling in this same kind of rhythm here. Next question. In the New Testament, from both Jesus and his followers, we're taught about service, being a servant, acting like a servant, doing things to build the ministry and to build each other. From your experience, how are Christians serving well today, or what things could we be doing differently?
Okay. From my experience, when there is a definite need for service, when we can say, here's what's going on, here's a way that you can help, who will help, a lot of times you'll get a lot of folks involved. It's exciting. Art Day, you know, it was fun to do, it was fun to watch, it was fun to be a part of. It was something that was defined, and here's what we're going to do, here's the time, here's the way you can serve. And I think we do that fairly well. I think when those moments are there, hey, fifth quarter's coming up, we need some funds to get that to happen, come on. Some of you guys are like, I'll serve, I'll set the tables, I'll clean them up, I'll get it, and they will serve. So when there's that kind of a need where we can get, I see service happening there. When we know of other situations that are available to us to help, we'll find some way to do something with it. The place, I guess, where I would say things maybe could be better, maybe can be improved upon, is to keep our eyes open to situations and to people. And, you know, I'm not going to call any names right now, even though it'll be really easy. Some of you guys are amazing at that. You just have that sort of Spider-Man sense, I guess, for lack of a better way of saying it. You have the heart of a servant. You notice and you take note of things. I'm not going to call this person's name, but a couple of weeks ago, Derek, I got a text that said, happy birthday, on January the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my birthday is July 20th. My physical birthday is July 20th. My spiritual birthday is January 22nd. And Somebody had the Spider-Man sense. Yeah. That's a horrible analogy. But, but had the heart enough to go, hey, I'm going to make note of that. I'm going to reach out to him on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's... I won't forget that.
Yeah.
To some of you guys are great at writing notes and putting them, sending them to somebody and just saying, hey, keep on working, keep going. But I think that's a place where maybe you guys who are really good at that bring to light the rest of us who are not as good and say, hey, here's a way you can serve, here's a way you can help. And for me, that's where I think maybe we could get better at. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's when we call it to your attention, you notice it. Or maybe you didn't notice it until, but to me, that's something that we need to do. And when you start doing that, when you start noticing those things, then I think that you have a great opportunity to serve.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a question that I feel like I'm always thinking about. And I give a lot of credit to, I just think when I was a young person, this was really instilled, just how important this is. And not in a sense of like, I mean, in the sense of like, yes, we need you. I grew up in a very small congregation, and so like, we were used in worship. And it, but what was stressed was like, how important you serving is for your Christian life, like for your relationship with Jesus. And so that was the stress, and that's what I have taken away. And so like, some of the things I'm always trying to keep in mind is like, even when Jesus was saying, like, for some people, he just said, come and see. He wasn't expecting them to put in, he wasn't expecting a lot in them in that moment. Just come and see, come and listen, see what this is all about. And then eventually it turns into, you know, follow me. Still, the expectation has increased a little bit, but not to the point where he's asked them to now go and do this or that or the other. And so there are, I think, times and levels where people aren't ready yet, like that expectation, even though I think that's always there, just from, you know, the Great Commission and just the attitude of Jesus that we're always serving each other. It does like take time or whatever to get to that point. I'm just trying to like have grace that like not everybody just comes in like ready to kick that door down Kool-Aid Man style and just do that, right? And so, right. But there is like the very clear call to end that progression of like go and bear fruit. So like it seems that the expectation for all Christians eventually is to be serving in some ways like this of in a ministry context, not saying like on staff at a church, but like you're involved in some sort of ministry outreach, serving, whatever it is. But going back to just why I think this is so important is like I just feel it. Like it's without a doubt been one of the best like things for spiritual growth in my life of Like, for instance, if me and you have ever picked up pizza off the floor at 11:48 after hanging out with high schoolers all night, I immediately feel closer to you, like, as a brother and sister in Christ. Like, there's something about that service there. If they're, I just think that's so built into the idea of serving. Is not just that it forces us to stay humble, it forces us to look to God, it forces us to remember how much God has served us and how much God has loved us. But going back to that relationship question of, it just connects you. Like, it just puts you together, it puts you in the trenches together, it puts you fighting the same adversary together, looking the same direction together, and I think it's just huge.
Yep. And in this moment, I know of a story right now that happened just where sometimes it's not necessarily that you picked the person you were going to be picking up pizza with, but all of a sudden you're picking up pizza, as your analogy was, and in those conversations you feel close enough to maybe share, or maybe someone says to you, "You got a minute? I can talk to you." That they would never have picked up the phone and called you.
Exactly.
They would have never said, "Hey, I'm struggling with some things," but to be able to say, as you're picking up a slice of pizza off the floor and you're realizing you're together, to go, "Hey, man, this life is tough right now for me." And now you have this open door that they would have never, as you said, Kool-Aid style, kicked the door in and said, "We need to talk." But because you found this place where you could be together in this non-threatening place to sit down and honestly, not as many people around. You know, you don't have this building full of folks that you're like, "Oh, if we start talking, everybody's going to hear what we're talking about." But that doesn't happen unless you get out there and do something.
That's right.
And I think that's kind of what you're bringing to life.
Yeah, and even I just think, like, maybe it's an excuse that we make for ourselves, or maybe it's just of I'm hearing what you say, but, like, what's step one? Like, what's step one, step two, step three? Like, do I have to wait on Jeff Fox to give me that form that has 18 different possible ways to serve and 16 of them are in the worship service? Like, what does that mean for me?
Right.
And that's just not the case. Like, and you may not have even known about this, but Wednesday night there were a group gathered, you know, led by Andrea, who I would say is one of the biggest, like, servant-hearted people. And so she just realized that on Valentine's Day, there's going to be a lot of people who might not get a Valentine's Day card. What could we do about that? And it turned into a group of people standing around, spreading out, doing whatever, and writing Valentine's Day cards. And I remember, so it was a before and after Bible study to get as many done as we had hoped to get done. And just when I walked back there the second time, and I just see a group of people, and they're talking, and they're laughing, and they're doing something good. And then to know that somebody got that card and received that card, and it brightened their day, like, just those things, seeing groups of people work that way together, you're exactly right. It's service, but it's also growing the church closer together to be a body that is in sync, that is working together, doing all these different things.
Absolutely.
Yep. I got a couple more comments, and then I've got just one more question, if we can squeeze that in. A couple of comments, actually. From Will, we sometimes wait to be asked to help instead of starting in a small way where we are. If we are willing to be motivated to start serving in the ways that we already have, more and more involved opportunities will start to appear. Here's from Brooks and Gina. There is good with a cell phone that you can reach out with and text people quickly and not require an immediate answer or 15 minutes of time for a conversation, but there is a disconnect with that too. There is good in streaming services for safety reasons or out-of-pocket situations, but there is a disconnect with that too. Many other examples of good that can also have other consequences. So where one says it's a good thing, we must guard against the disconnects of the good things. That's a really good point, and I feel like that's something that's going to be that, you know, I guess luckily for me, our elders are going to have to deal with, of what's the good of streaming versus the negative of you might lose some of this actual real connection, right? So some really good points there. Another comment. We also can get in the habit of letting the same few people always clean up the pizza in our church family. Those service areas are places where more help is always needed, and it does connect us and open doors. Yeah, that's a good point, too.
Yeah. Lots
of good points.
And it's hard sometimes to, I think that uncomfortableness, one of my favorite, I say favorite, one of the conversations I get to have with people is, you know, I just don't know what to do at the fifth quarters, and I don't know how to do it. And they're concerned, and a lot of people, and I'm talking to you, I don't know exactly which one of you I'm talking to, but I've had people who have said things like, you know, I just want to be in the way. I don't want, you know, the kids to be, they don't notice you.
Yeah.
They don't care that you're there, but you are, and you're going to get connected, and you're going to be excited about what they're doing, and they're going to be excited to get the pizza and leave it on the floor for you to pick up. And they're going to make a mess, and we're going to have to deal with it. And, yeah. And that's that connecting, that bonding, that's, and I think that's what spiritual growth is and is all about. And yeah, it can easily become the same folks. But boy, I tell you, it's exciting when somebody new comes along, and it's to hear their excitement, to see, you know, it kind of lights a fire under those who are already there. So be that person who sparks that fire for somebody else.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. I think this conversation has been great. So I've got another question, but I'll stop it right there. Maybe that's what we do next week. We would love to hear from you all. We think the format or just what we are doing might change after next week. So next week might be potentially the last, you know, roundtable, whatever you want to call this. So we would love to hear from you. We've got something planned, but we would love to hear from you on maybe what you want to see or any ideas that you have for this last one. And that's all that I have, Bobby.
Okay.
I know you have some
announcements we want to make. And Derek has kind of hinted and thrown little seeds of what's coming.